Welcome to We Mentor Mondays podcast with Nancy. Get inspired. Break through to new dimensions with your peers on the entrepreneurial journey of self-discovery. Learn something new from our stories today. Welcome to We Mentor Mondays with Nancy. Well, today in the studio, we're so fortunate to have Mary Hayes Greco here joining us along with Jennifer Nelson. And Mary Hayes Greco is the author of Unconditional Forgiveness and the New Kitchen Mystic. She's the founder and director of the Midwest Institute for Forgiveness Training and has taught people how to forgive for over 25 years. Her work has taken her all over the world. You can reach her at www.forgivenesstraining.com. And she also has a podcast on her website that's profoundly moving and very interesting in a wide variety of topics. And Jennifer Nelson is here for her fifth session, and she owns Graphies Artist. She's a graphic designer as well as a fine artist. Hi to both of you.
Hello.
Hi, Nancy.
So the audience knows, anyone who's been following your journey, that you, through a few sessions together, started getting further inside yourself and realizing that there's some things that you are sorting out. Definitely. For yourself as an entrepreneurial leader and as a human being. And that's so true. With We Mentor, we focus on human development along with entrepreneurial leadership development. The reason I have each person coming in fill out the self-awareness mentoring journal is to really capture the essence of where they're at in the moment. And I feel in our society that we've been taught to really separate out your business life and your personal life to such a degree that people have really gone to a lot of effort really departmentalizing their lives. And I don't think that that has served us well.
I agree. When I started out my career, I heard that there's no crying in business.
Yeah.
You know, it's all about putting on the mask and be on all the time for business and,
yeah,
you know, deal with whatever upsets you have in your own time.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Feel on your own time.
Yeah, right. And I imagine you've had some, you're in the business of forgiveness.
That's right. I go to work and people cry at me. We cry a lot in my office, but I don't usually cry at the same time as they do that. That would be confusing.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But I would say that, you know, like many artists, I am my work. I mean, my work is me. There's kind of a, you know, creative fusion between what I'm living and what I'm able to share with people. And what I learn from people, and then how it helps me in my journey. So I really see it as my work in healing others is also healing me.
Yes. And so as we're sharing our feelings and connecting with each other, it creates a space for us to kind of have an organic conversation. And through the process of you and I, Jennifer, having several sessions now, our fifth here, it led me to actually connect with Mary Hayes Greco and say, you know, part of Jennifer's journey is involving this deep creative block that is stems from your family of origin. Mm-hmm. And she would like to get past it. And so then we started having the conversations with each of you.
Nobody comes to the idea of forgiveness very cheerfully or very directly. It's something that it comes to you like, oh, this is it. This is the thing. Oh, this is why I, you know, am hard on myself, or I do too much of this substance, or I can't get started on that. It's because I'm blocked from the creative, joyful life of my soul. And I need to do forgiveness for me. I need to get unblocked. I need to move forward. Even though I feel like this person was very wrong, this person was very cruel, this is not okay, this is laced with injustice everywhere I look at it, we finally give up trying to be the ultimate judge and say, yeah, well, whatever happened, I need to be free. So whatever happened then, I need to be free now. Mm-hmm. And I need to have even the tiniest strand of goodwill towards everyone, even people who have been bad and awful to us. And I need that tiny strand of goodwill towards them so I can be healthy, so I can be in flow. And it doesn't take away from the wrongness of what they did. But we are saying to ourselves, even though these wrong things have happened, I will be free.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah, and I can really relate to that, where I feel like I've spent too much of my time, as I say, or somebody has said, looking at life in a rearview mirror.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because you know you can be somewhat productive, if not very productive, you know, moving on with this life, but you know that sometimes your thoughts are occupied way too often looking at the past.
Mm-hmm.
And taking,
there's just some
using
kind
up
of
your
a
energy.
Weight in your heart or mind that you know isn't the real you. Like, you know, the real me is lighter than this. I haven't been hurt for a while. What is this weight I'm carrying?
Yeah, you just reminded me when I was like in my 20s or whatever, I remember somebody saying, Jen, do you ever have a bad day? And then it occurred to me that it's like, well, nobody's asked me that, you know, recently. Even though I have plenty of good days, it's not the so ongoingly
mm-hmm.
up that I get that question.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. That's when we know we need to work on forgiveness, is when it all of a sudden becomes almost in every conversation. Or, you know, like, I feel like, you know,
when you start leaking and dribbling your issue into other conversations, and you think, oh, I don't even like myself right now. I'm leaking and dribbling my issue everywhere. Mm-hmm. I wish I would stop it. How do I stop it?
Mm-hmm.
I'm leaking.
That's always my indication of, okay, I need to stop, examine what's going on, and figure out how to learn a different way of thinking about this, or just some different tools of getting past my hurt that seems to surface at different times. So let's check in with ourselves. Each of you have filled out a self-awareness mentoring journal. So let's just kind of briefly check in to see where each of us is at right now in the moment.
I could summarize my things as I'm a little heavy, a little serious.
Okay.
Yeah. And I'm still in a, we talked last week when I checked in, I'm still in a moment, a marriage moment, a marriage conversation that's got me feeling a little remorseful, a little sad and serious. And, you know, I also feel hopeful. I also feel determined. I also feel, you know, disciplined and like I'm moving forward and through this.
Yes.
This moment, had a good conversation with my spouse this morning, and a courageous conversation for both of us. And I feel that we're both going to move forward, but we're feeling a little serious right now.
Good. Okay. Thanks for checking in and being honest about that. Jennifer?
Well, I have a mix of feelings going on. In the category of inner peace, I circle generosity of spirit and optimistic. At the same time, I circled anticipatory, distracted, unresolved, annoyed, agitated, stuck in a rut. So
yeah. Mm-hmm. You're
I think
ready.
That all those things occur either together or any combination on any given day.
Yes.
But all of that's in there. And I limited myself because there's more that I could circle
that we'll expand on off the air. We mentor. So for our listeners, Mary, Jennifer, and I would like to talk about the 8 steps to freedom that Mary has built upon from your mentor over the years, and has updated and integrated from her learnings the 8-step process that's really powerful. And we'll just start walking things through, and then we'll add in whichever you would like to add in that fits. And then when we reach a point where we feel like we're ready for deeper work, the audience needs to know that some of this work that we're doing needs to be taken private. And the same that any process that you go through that's very deeply, deeply wounding and painful, you want to share it with a unique group of people that you have a lot of high level of trust and support around the issue or the person or what you're healing. So we're going to do that in the process. But like with your workshops, there's usually 15 people in the workshop.
Mm-hmm.
And those people have all come together because they're all healing one particular relationship.
They're strangers on Friday night and the best of buddies by Sunday night. Because we've all discovered that everyone's carrying a painful story and everyone's been being very courageous and is moving to their next new level.
Yeah, and everyone's there to make a change, mm-hmm. like, and to come to terms and to put to rest the deep wound in their heart.
Mm-hmm.
And this is such a good place to put it and let go of it. And the process is just a wonderful process. So we won't delay it any longer. Last week, Mary went through the 8 steps for those who were listening, and Mary shared a little bit about her background. This week, what we would like to do is share the process with you, Jennifer, and see if we can unleash this creative block in a really constructive way.
Excellent.
Have you had the creative block long enough, you think? Would you like to keep it another year or two?
Oh, yes. The short answer is yes. I'm ready to release that. But then there's all the things that are probably in myself that are working against that. So yes, yes, I would like to.
Don't want to take it out for its walk every day and feed it every night. It's
right.
Like, I don't think I want this.
Yes.
Yeah. Good.
So what you've been doing is preparing for a change in your life. Because what you wouldn't be here.
Not preparing so much as maybe just exhausted what I've, not been doing to deal with it, mm-hmm. or not preparing to, forgive, and maybe even thinking that I've successfully forgiven certain things until it rears its ugly head again, and realizing that I haven't, and maybe I don't really know what forgiveness is, and I'm not even sure that my family of origin has taught me how that looks. In fact, I think I was taught all kinds of things that would suggest hold a grudge, And so I've learned some things in my own life about how not to hold a grudge, but I believe me, I carry some things with me about how, confrontation, maybe it's like if you get mad at each other, my assumption might be that, well, you're just mad at me, you don't like me very much, I'll just quietly go away. So it's leave the scene for a while.
Yeah.
Whether it be a month or two or a year or more.
Yeah, that painful stuff. Okay.
All right, well, so how about I'll just comb through it as like an overall picture.
Okay.
And then we'll go back and do a little more depth on each step. But I want people to be able to see kind of the arc of the work, the healing that takes place. It's almost like you almost need to look at it with your right brain. And see it in pictures, and because this is how healing happens, and this is how it happens whether you come to my office for an hour and a half and we rock it through the 8 steps together, or whether you decide to forgive and you get the information about how to do it and you enter into an organic process over the next month or two. It always works. The steps will always get you there. And I think the people who have managed to forgive really difficult things, it's because they have intuited these steps. They've come across each of these steps at a certain moment and went there and did it. And when you get to the last part, it just evaporates. Mm-hmm. There's something kind of uncanny about how physical this is. That the block that we're carrying inside is a chunk of stagnant energy that got stuck. It didn't get processed. It didn't get digested. It's stuck in our system, and you experience it as a creative block. Other people experience it as a health problem. It manifests as different things. But anyway, to jump in, step one of the 8 steps to forgiving another person is to decide, to harness your will and say, okay, I will let this go now. I will move forward. I will. If I have to forgive, if that's what it is, I will do that. Step two is to be in a safe and comfortable place. And well, let's just assume you've already prepared yourself. You've already maybe read the book or looked online at the steps and seen the video, or we've talked about it, but you're a little bit prepared. And you feel comfortable with the person who's sitting with you. So step two, we're going to have an empty chair in front of us, and we're going to picture the person we're forgiving in the empty chair, and we're going to speak out, cry out, yell out, whatever it takes, our emotional truths about what happened or what didn't happen with this person in this relationship. And this is where you don't have to be fair and you don't have to be spiritual. You can be a big baby. You can be, you know, crude. You can say the F word 80 times if you need to. There's no editing. You can softly cry or loudly yell. It's different for different personalities of how, you know, vividly our emotional expression is. At a certain point of expressing your emotional truth to that empty chair, it shifts. You feel like, oh, okay, I just emptied that pot. There's only this much energy in this emotional story, and I've said it, and I felt it, and okay, now what? You feel this shift that wants to lead you into step three, which is where we identify the key expectations we've had of somebody that they have disappointed and that they will not meet or cannot meet, and that every time they behave just like themselves, we are disappointed because we still have this expectation attached to our minds. And we don't have the power to change this person or right. to change what happened, but we do have the power to let go of our expectation. And the having your will in place and then venting your emotions then gets you ready to say, okay, I'm done with that expectation. I would have preferred this, but I'm releasing it. And you let it go. And I can talk a little bit more about what that feels like. And then the next step is to restore your personal boundaries, your personal healthy space with this person. So we do this in two steps. One is we imagine we can take all of their wrongs, all of their lacks, all of their character defects that we've been carrying around, talking about in our heads, like a big bundle. We're going to just give it back to them and their higher self to deal with. Like, I'm not going to carry your problems anymore. You know, I'm not going to carry your sins around. That's between you and God. Here you go. And we imagine we can just empty our personal sphere, our personal space of those wrongs that this person is guilty of, according to us. And then we visualize our personal space like it's a healthy field of light. The healers would call it your aura. You could think of it as also a healthy ego space, your personality sphere, within which you know what you think, you know who you are, you know what you want, you know what you're responsible for, you know what your goals are. It's you. You don't have someone else all mashed up inside your space that you're always fighting with. Step five, then we open up to life again. Some people see it as opening to the universe to get what we really need. Some people say, God, I open up to God to give me what I really need. Other people say, I open up to my higher self, my soul. I open up to life again because I've been closed off. I've been shut down. Mm-hmm. But I can't make this person give me what I need. I can never do that. It will not work. But I will get what I need in a mysterious way if I let go and open up to a source that will not disappoint me in the same way. And then we keep moving into that spiritual level, and we visualize a source of unconditional love and healing light. And if you have a prayer practice or a meditation practice like you do, it'll be easier to get there than if you've never practiced transcending your personality and finding that light, that peace space. We want to go and open up to that light space, that peace space, and call that energy in to cleanse the personality, to bring it into our bodies, our feelings, our minds, our energy system. And then we flow into the next step, which is where we allow some of that eternal love and good energy to flow through us, and we send a little bit out to that person that we're forgiving. And we establish, like I said, that strand of goodwill between us and them. I send you this love from a higher source, and I release you to be yourself, and I release me from you. And then we've got ourselves to the eighth step, which is now we are going to be willing to look at what's good about that person or what's good about that situation mm-hmm. or what's good about us having traveled through that situation and dealing with that person. We have to see the good because everyone in our life is a teacher, even the negative ones. Some people teach us through gift and blessing, and other people teach us through friction and challenge and difficulty. And in that way, they are our teacher, and we can see the good in that. So if we've traveled through these eight steps truly and thoroughly, and you know, an average amount of time when a person is ready to go, it takes about 45 minutes to do this, we find that we feel different. We feel different physically. We feel lighter somehow. That's the word people always use. I'll say, how do you feel? I feel lighter. I always say that. I feel lighter. Where do you feel lighter? Oh, I feel lighter in my chest. Oh, my shoulders are lighter. Oh, my head is lighter. I feel lighter all over. You hear some kind of version of, I'm not carrying this anymore. It's shifted, and I've got more of my own soulful energy in this place. So that's an overview.
On page 21 of your Unconditional Forgiveness book, you talk about you're ready for a more joyful life mm-hmm. when you make this change. And I love the way you wrote this. And I think that we'll finish out this session maybe with a quote from your book.
Okay.
And Jennifer, is there anything else you would like to say or ask?
Not at the moment. I'm just absorbing it all and mm-hmm. taking it in and loving the possibility that a lifetime could be helped, if not whatever, cured. I don't know what the answer, but in 45 minutes.
Yeah. We'll wow. say a significant chunk of yeah. forgiveness. If there was like three huge chunks with you and the person you're forgiving, well, we'll get through one of them in 45 minutes. And you'll come and see me another time and we'll get through the other one in 45 minutes. But it's finite, you know. It works best if you break it down into its parts and pieces.
Joy is the bright force of creation that throbs through all of its creatures in different ways. Joy is God's song, and it sings the flowers awake in springtime, calling out with conviction that there's no ultimate death, no winter that lasts. Joy is the earth turning her face toward the sun once again, and the frozen hard ground yielding and softening, like our hearts when they are given hope that they might heal and be happy after all. Joy coaxes the sap to rise, the trees to extend their branches into space, and the blossoms to burst slowly forth with color and fragrance to share their particular songs with whoever will come by. We are surrounded by a chorus of sublime, of the beautiful, and we need to let ourselves sing gaily in that grand chorus. Joy. Thanks, Mary, for being here and sharing your process and your steps. Jennifer, thanks for adding into our discussion today.
Thank you both.
And we'll go into our next session next week. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next Monday. Thanks, Mike, for your sound engineering today and your pictures. Bye.